pray together, our Father, in the name of your Son, Jesus. This evening, we ask and receive insight and wisdom in the knowledge of your Son, such that we understand the things of the Spirit in the place of prayer. There's accuracy this evening. There's precision this evening. We behold Him as He sees us in Him. He is glorified. We are edified. Amen. Matthew 28. We're looking at adventures in prayer. Matthew 28:18. All authority is given unto me in heaven and in the earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, and teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always until the end of the age. Now, remember last week we looked at to sit at his feet. Remember? And that had to do with Mary and Martha. And I told you that to sit at the feet, which was used for Mary in Luke 10, and Martha, Luke 10, 38 to 42, you can check that, was used by Paul in Acts 22, verse 3. It means to be a person's disciple or to be trained. So Mary being found at the feet of Jesus doesn't mean she sat at the chair. It simply meant that she submitted to his training. And if you had the room to be there physically, you will see that she was amongst the disciples. In other words, they were receiving the same training and also the same kind of instruction. And we said that last week. It just said to say that. So being seated at the feet is a figure of speech, it's an idiom actually. Idiom is a figure of speech, but it's an idiom to mean that you are learning under or you are in submission. Whenever you hear under his feet or at his feet, one of those two, under his feet is dominion, at his feet is learning and submission. Okay, so in this instance, we looked at that, and we said one of the things about discipleship is that you watch and you learn. You watch. So a student doesn't just take notes in the sense of writing notes. He also observes. I told you on Sunday, there is the practice of training. Remember that? There's the practice of training. And that's why, as important as it is to have things done online, as we do today, there's a lot that is done physically. Alright? Physically. And so, in Matthew, look at Matthew. Jesus was known in Matthew 4:23. He was preaching, and according to Acts 1:21-22, the 12, they saw him preach. So they saw him preach. They didn't hear he used to preach. They did not listen to his teaching on Living Word Media. They saw him preach. Okay? Now, in Matthew 9:35, they saw him preach. Then he said in 37 and 38, he says, the harvest is plenteous, laborers are few. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he may send for laborers into his harvest. Then in chapter 10, verse 1, he now sent them out to preach. Now, you can't send someone out to preach who doesn't see you preach. So having taught them, he also showed them. Sometimes people say, this person is speaking like this person. So I was asking one time, he said he was listening to me talk like a certain preacher. And I said, that preacher, I used to have almost 300, I used to think it was 250 or 300 tapes. It's not the days of, what do you do today? MP4, you know, that's very easy. Tapes, you know tapes? Did you meet my red radio? Where's Pastor Lola? Where is she? You know that red, you met that, but that was the year the thing died. You came and it died. A red player that I started using in 1991. Red tape. And I would buy tapes. I bought tapes and I will listen to it. Then I listen to over 250 to 300 within a year. How would I not talk like the person? That's the person I listen to. And I go for his meetings. I will travel for his meetings. That's normal. So I said, we see that the way you minister in Holy Ghost means like Kenneth Hagin. Who should it be like? Do you understand? That's the man who taught me. Of course, he taught me through people that first taught me. Then I saw him. Of course, that's what's called discipleship. You will see. So they saw it. And they saw it. As they saw it, he said, now you go and preach. So there's a see and do in discipleship. So he sent them out in Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 1. Matthew's Gospel 10, verse 1 to 3. He sent them out to preach. Remember? In 1 Timothy 4:12. It says, now, I think I'm going to resume this. Years ago, we used to go out on the... We've gone on evangelism before. We'll go together. And that's to show you, okay, the practice. The practice. You show it. Okay, let me give you an example. Now, of course, you were longer than some of them here. We went out on evangelism in Adoekiti. Was it 2001? 2001. Okay. And then I set a record for you guys, right? What was the record again? The time, and then what else? I set them a record. It was 92. I set a record for them, 92 in a day. So I said, this is the record I'm going to set for you. Remember? Uh-huh. That the people were going to train, some of them, even their pastors couldn't win a soul. Back then. Now, when you join, they train you. Right? When they join, they train them. You follow what I'm saying? That's what it is. You will see it. Okay? So, there is what you will see. Right? So, as they saw it, he said, go do it. Go preach it. And so that's why it's strange for a disciple to want to be unique. It's strange. In Acts 4:13, they said, this guy cannot learn it, but it took knowledge of the fact that they had been with John the Baptist. Being with who? Moses. Being with Jesus. They saw them talk alike. So, in discipleship, that happened. Look at 1 Timothy 4:12. Praise God. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no man despise thy youth. Let no man despise thy youth. It's not by saying, I don't care whether I'm young. No. Let no man, the word despise thy youth is a Greek word, kataphroneo, kataphroneo. It actually means to treat with contempt. It was used, it's disrespect. Paul reused that word in 1 Timothy 6 and 2. It's for disrespect. To just not respect someone. Now, the proper Greek should be, let no man disrespect you for your youth. Because you are young. And anybody who begins the work of ministry as a teenager, as a young person like I did, will face what Paul is saying to Timothy here. Let no man disrespect you. Okay? So he says, but be an example. Now, the word disrespect here, kataphroneo, in the Greek language, it's an active one. Typical insult. Like say, young evangelist, who was that boy trying to share his good? In fact, most of the time, when I was younger, but that was not for long. The invitations they will give you will be for teenagers' fellowship. That's what Paul is saying here. But I'll tell you, I didn't preach in teenage ministries more than 5 times in my life. Never. I preached for a church years ago, and it was for their youth convention. From the first day, the provincial pastor, he said, you will start teaching in the main church for us. Conference. But it didn't happen by me saying, how can you give me teenage fellowship? Let no man despise my youth. No, he says, be an example. The way they won't despise you is when you are an example. Be an example. It's not by you ranting. No, be an example. Be an example of the believers. The word there is tupos in the Greek. That means you will be a model. What you want believers to become, you become. Then he mentions, in Paul's language, he mentions in word, the word logos, which has to do with idea, thought, you know, concept, belief. Then he says love, faith, purity, which is the same thing. Love, faith, purity. The love is the faith is the purity. So it's something that people will see. Now, don't forget that he had told the same Timothy in chapter 2 verse 1, first of all, intercessions, supplications, intercessions, prayers and giving of thanks be made. So in other words, you will be an example. You will be typical. So Christianity functions by example. What did I say? Functions by example. We watch what others do. We watch what others do. And one of the things that we watch amongst Christian leadership is the art of prayer. The art of prayer. Hallelujah. The art of prayer. For example, look at that example Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 14. When he says that, now he says, if you come together and everybody speaks in tongues, and there comes in one that's unbelieving or unlearned, will he not say that you are mad? 1 Corinthians 14, 23. But verse 24 says, if you come together and prophesy, if you all prophesy, and there comes in one unlearned, and then he says the secret of his heart is made manifest, revealed, he says, he will fall down on his face and worship God, and report that God of the truth is in you. Now, why would he fall down and worship God? Because he saw people do it. Don't forget, he's an unbeliever. So that means people will adopt or adapt what we do. He will fall down on his face and worship God and report that God is in you of the truth. So they are examples. Which also involves prayer. So we have the example of prayer. We started that last week. We're looking at adventures in prayer. Acts 1:14. Acts 1:14. Are you there? I said, are you there? So there's a difference between an online person and a real life person. You need to get to meetings. You need to be there. There's a huge difference between when you watch something or you listen to it on the internet and when you are there. Acts 1:14. Watch this. All right. These all, he says, continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women. This is the first activity that will be recorded of the church upon the departure of Jesus in that sense. The mother of Jesus and with his brethren. He says they continued with prayer. Now, why would you continue with prayer? That means they have been praying before. They continued prayer. Corporate prayer. When you want to disciple somebody in the Lord, don't tell him to go and be praying. Take him to where people pray. Don't say, you know, every day you wake up and pray. No. I told you, after a person receives Christ, What is the first thing you should do to him? Huh? What did he say? Me teach him the word. It's not me. Huh? What did he say? Huh? Introduce him to a local church. Get him a fellowship of believers. He needs to see believers. He needs to identify with believers. And one of the things he will see is prayer. So here we are. Here we are, Acts 1:14. They continued in prayer. Acts 2:42. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Then he says prayer. The word continue steadfastly there, I've explained that word to you, is a Greek word, proskatereo, proskatereo. Proskatereo. You know, terio means to watch as though it's going to get lost. So, proskatereo means to keep at something so that it does not stop. So, there is a devotion to prayer where you are praying so that prayer does not stop. That's why you pray daily. Prayer must come to a point in your life where it's actually a devotion of yours. You are devoted to pray. I'm going to show you something in a moment. They prayed steadfastly. Now, it's very likely that on the day of Pentecost, pay good attention here, what they had was a prayer meeting. It's very likely that on the day of Pentecost, what they had was a prayer meeting. Why? I just read Acts 1:14 to you. That's all. Acts 2:42. The two events before that. Acts 1:14, what the church did together. Acts 2:42, what they did together. Sandwiched in between that was when they were filled with the Holy Ghost. So if they came to one place, what were they coming together to do? Acts 1:14 to pray. Again, when they got saved, what did they come together to do? Doctrine and prayer. What's consistent? Prayer. Who's following what I'm saying here? Now notice that in Acts 3:1, Peter and John went up. Peter and John, Acts 3:1, went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer. The ninth hour. Being the ninth hour. Now, the ninth hour in the Jewish timing will be 3 p.m. Right? Come on. 3 p.m. Now, notice something I want you to observe. That means they were going for a prayer meeting. That means the church had a prayer time. Now, that flows with the fact that they were devoted to it. If you are devoted to something, you give it a time. So even in your private life, you must have a time. They picked a time. 3 p.m. Now, notice something that's consistent here. There seems to be a 6 p.m. Acts 2:1. Sorry, 6 a.m. Pardon. And there's something that we'll see. Look at Acts 10 verse 3. Acts 10 verse 3. This was Cornelius. Again, he's praying, Cornelius. Acts 10, verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day. Now, he's praying again. Acts 10, 3. Now look at Acts 10, 30. Cornelius said, 4 days ago, I was fasting until this hour. At the ninth hour, I prayed in my house. So he was praying. Now, look at Peter. That's Acts 10:30. So he was praying at the ninth hour. That's 3 p.m. Look at Peter. The second day, Peter went up upon the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. That's 12 noon. About the sixth hour. Now, some things are being constant. 6 a.m., 9 p.m., 12 noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m. Somehow, looks like a custom. At those quarter times of the day, people seem to choose to pray. You know, morning, afternoon, then evening. Who's following this? Right, so morning, afternoon, then evening. So you must choose times to pray. Like we said many times, all believers are given to pray. You must build a culture of prayer. Now, that makes you keep at it. A culture of prayer. Now, a church must have a culture of prayer. A church must have a custom of prayer. Prayer meetings, for example. Just like they had the hour of prayer. We can say, Tuesday, 6 p.m. Now, in Saints Community Church, because we know that different people have different days in the week. I heard Lynn Hammond, the pastor with Mark Hammond of, what's the church again now? In, what am I forgetting? I shouldn't forget it. And they said they had what they call the prayer groups. So that the church can pray every day and then people can have the times where it's comfortable and convenient for them. So I said, well, that's a good idea. Again, the learning. She explained how it works. So I said, well, we could try this in Lagos. And so that was it. This will work. You pick a time in the day, in the week, where you can pray. Why would the church do that? So that we can continue steadfastly. Steadfastly, there is devotion. That is, we must put devotion to prayer. So you, as a believer, you must put devotion to prayer. For example, if you know about vigils, vigils means to pray all night. Right? So if you want to pray all night, you can say, well, I will pray all night once every week. I remember I told myself, I said, every Thursday, I was a younger Christian, I said, every Thursday, I call it my prayer, I have a book. Every Thursday, I have those I used to pray for every Thursday. So I used to have a prayer book like that. I remember someone came to my room and I said, see my prayer book. And he saw his name, his ministry, on the Thursday list. I said, yeah, I'll do it. And I did it for a couple of years and I changed the days. So you should have a devotion to it. Vigils. Don't just every time you hear a teaching on prayer, everybody just say, prayer, till you go tired. Prayer! Then we do VG every day. Just going, No, prayer is the ministry of the believer. It's the inworking of the outworking of the Spirit. Come. Pick a time. Is that clear? One time I heard a preacher say, he prayed for 9 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours. And then, Lord, tonight is the night. I will pray. And so that was how I went to pray. And then the night. About 10 p.m. to 11 p.m. About that period. I said, tonight. Lord, the boast about prayer is more than the prayer. I will pray, Lord. I will pray, Lord. Next thing I heard was, hey! Oh boy! So, I went to a friend of mine. I said, I'm struggling. I wanted to pray. But my confession made more confusion. He said, you should have started with 30 minutes. I said, vision without action is confusion. He said, stop 30 minutes. He said, the next day, increase it to 1 hour. He said, then you can go to 2 hours. So, okay, I tried it. It worked. And then he also told me, he said, you know what? He took me, himself, a brother like that, Femi Oshisoye, he's a lecturer in Labatech now. He took us to his house. 1992, I think. or three. Then we prayed, was from a Friday to a Saturday afternoon. He didn't allow us to sit down. He's our friend though, but he was feeding us. I said, yeah, why did I say I should come to this? So he now said, before we start, he said, if you can break the 5 hours to 6 hours, he said, it becomes easy. So I started targeting 6 hours. But those are the times that it's like the earth. Oh my God. I know there's this skill of looking at the wristwatch. So you know about it, right? You go, oh my God. Jesus at the center of it all. Hello, my friend who say, we are still praying. Eh? But you know, when he told me that 6 hours, 7 hours, I walked at it, I broke the mold. And I saw what he said. You know, that's devotion to prayer. Hallelujah. Are you in church? Where some people say, it's not about long prayers. Are you there? In Acts 4:23-24, they lifted up their voice in one accord and prayed. There was a culture in the church. So that in verse 31-32, you saw all believers were there. They were filled with the Spirit. Say, filled with the Spirit. Right. In Acts 6 again, when they were, see, prayer seemed to dominate the activity of the church. They picked deacons, okay? And then the Bible says in verse 6, they prayed and then they laid hands on them. Acts 6:6. So there were enough examples for you to see and then pray. I remember one of the things I did as an earlier Christian, some of you probably have done it before, I don't know whether you should still do it. I will pray into a Walkman, record I'll pray for 1 or 2 hours, then I'll record it. Then I'll be playing it. It encouraged me to pray. Then I'll be playing it and praying it and praying. I have one, I had one tape like that, Kenneth Hagin, where he prayed for about 2 hours. Like that. I have one now that I use about an hour. So I just rewind them and just pray. Now that's just something I've been used to for many years. So it's like a style that I adopted. But that's all about making sure you keep your prayer life. See the way you keep money, right? You know what? You keep money. You make sure you check it very well. Have you put money somewhere before and you are looking like this? They are brethren there. I do a follow up. The word is growing. And you put your eyes there. You don't want the bag to be taken away. Or you just bought a brand new car. And you parked it and you are walking away and going back. So don't worry, there's no problem. I know. Just checking how it's well packed. I said, no, don't sleep it. This is a good area. I know. Where you use car lease to buy something. You just want it. I said, in Jesus' name. If you are not careful, just you have a cup of water there. Just Jesus, you are pointing. You know, that's how you have a prayer life. You keep it. Sometimes you can train yourself by using alarms. I don't use alarms. I'm not saying you should not. But I just decided not to use alarm. I believe that the spirit of man has control over the mind of man. So I told myself I can wake myself up. Right? Because as a boarding house student, I had this inward witness that woke me up at 5 o'clock every day. Because I had received slaps before. So there was now a witness inside. So 5 o'clock I'm up. After I graduated, I was still waking up at 5. I said, After I was a senior that graduated. So you can train yourself. Okay? So there's a way you will, to have adventures in prayer, learn to train yourself at certain times. So you keep it. Now, again, we said that Jesus had that kind of culture that he had times he would withdraw from everybody. Luke 6:12. He withdrew from everybody. So say withdraw. He withdrew from everybody. You should have moments of privacy. He withdrew and he prayed. Now, we're going to look at, adventures in prayer. Now, look at Hebrews 5, verse 7. Hebrews 5. Are you in church? The writer of Hebrews, who obviously was not an eyewitness. He says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and what? With what? Strong cries and tears. So, prayer can take different patterns. Strong cries and tears. Hallelujah. Years ago, as a younger Christian, I got to Ikorodu and I knew in my heart that the Lord wanted us to do certain things here. And I heard Archbishop Idahosa said how he went around Benin. He would pray around Benin. He would just walk around Benin. So I told myself, I'm going to walk around this town. And I'll be praying. And there are times like that, unsolicited tears. I'll just find myself crying. Those are adventures in prayer. Crying. It's not the kind of prayer that they told you in your office, they gave you a query. See the MD on Monday. Then on Sunday, say you are crying. Of course. Lord, I'm the apple of your eye. I'm your eye. Lord, you guys, that is the apple of your eye. What would the world say about you? No, that's okay. This is spirit-inspired tears. Adventures in prayer. Unsolicited. You didn't look for it. Not the kind of tears on the second day of WCC. You think the person is crying because of burning of bread? He's really burning. Hey, who sent me message? You said, no. But this is spirit inspired. Where tears. I believe this happens many times to the soul winner when he's praying. Because one of the characteristics of New Testament ministry is compassion. 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 Hallelujah. Remember a family like that? I had the burden to pray for them. All of them were Muslims. And I was praying and crying and shouting. Praying, crying, and shouting. Today, if I'm praying about Nigeria, the world, the work of the ministry, not about the political situation, about Africa, I find myself sometimes do things that I never planned to do. I never planned to do. That spirit inspired. Because what usually happens, Kenneth Hagin shared this years ago. He said, sometimes like you will take on the person's burden and pain. And sometimes you almost be the one crying for salvation. What's that experience before? That you're like crying to be saved. And you say, I'm saved for it. I have eternal life. What's that? What's this? It's a spirit-inspired action. You are bearing. It's similar to Jesus bearing our burdens of sin. You now bear that burden. And you are praying. And you find yourself shedding tears. Have you shared the gospel with someone before? And you were crying. Who has done that before? You were sharing the gospel. In 1995, a dear sister of ours, we had this group of guys near Igbogbo Youth Center then. They would be in hard drugs. And they would take hemp. Very near the fellowship venue. In 95. Yeah, I think 95. Yep. So that day, myself, a brother, and a sister were passing through those guys. Through the place where they were was like a market store, a marketplace. Sorry. So it was very dark. So I was just great. My own point, when I was just passing, I was just like, look at these small boys wasting their life. The sister just waited. Said, "Can I share?" I said, "Yes, share with them quickly." She just stood there and began to preach. And was, I'm the pastor. I stood like this. And was crying. I mean, the tears were real. And then she knelt down. Each one of those guys put away their Igbo. And listen, I was just watching. I saw the Spirit of God at work. I was going to walk away. Like, just risk their lives. The Word of God. You know what? But there was just someone who had the burden. Should I have had the burden? Yes. Because immediately after she did that, and they got saved. After she did that, the fact that I honored what she was doing, I caught the same burden. As it happens to someone is praying, and the person is praying with passion, and you don't really want to pray, and you touch the person and start praying that way. What has that happened to you? That happens. That means the person, the same way we lay hands, and we cause people to rejoice, we cause people to laugh by telling them a joke. Spiritual things are also contagious. You will just find yourself doing what the person is doing. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Look at Luke 22. So Jesus was known for this kind of prayer. Praying with tears. You know, today, if you enter a prayer, people are crying, religious men. They don't know the finished works. It's not finished works alone. It's land and housing. Luke 22. There are some prayers you don't pocket. Or else you have been pocketed. Luke 22. They are adventures. Those are adventures. And you see men giving to prayer. A man that I respected, I mean, I don't agree. No, not the word. We don't believe alike on many things. But every time I met the man in 2009 or 2010, actually, at one of the World Changers Conference meetings. The man had a ministry in between Ogere and Iperu. So I just discovered that because I used to do a lot of prayer work. I grew up walking. I can walk for 48 hours praying. So I found the place. The man told us his age. He was 100 years old plus. And he said he used to pray 6, 9, 12, 3 every day. He'll pray an hour, rest an hour, pray an hour, and he will stand like this. And the point is, after I've walked for hours, if I get to the man's presence and I see him praying, it's as though fresh dew comes. It's contagious. When you walk with men of prayer, you will be praying. Not when you despise them. Are you learning something? Luke 24. 22, sorry. Verse 44. Are you there? Let's take it together. Okay, verse 41 says, Jesus knelt down and prayed. Someone said, he knelt down and prayed. Hallelujah. Do you know how to kneel down? What was the last time you knelt down to pray? You knelt down. Some of us will pocket. Well, we know the Pauline revelation. The pocket. No. He knelt down. Look at 44. Let's say 44 together. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Watch this. And his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Ha ha. Some say adventures in prayer. That's an adventure. Look at the word agony. The word agony there in the Greek is the word agonia, actually. It means a struggle, a pressure. In fact, some scholars think one of the words for agonia here is fear. Like, you know, the way someone responds in fear. Ah! Ah! That's how I was praying. It's an adventure. Some of you have never had this kind of experience before. And here's Jesus screaming, yeah! And what a prayer life that is. Hallelujah. Watch this. It's from the Greek word agon, used by Paul in Philippians 1:30 for a conflict. Colossians 2:1. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, agon. It's what Paul calls the fight of faith, a conflict. 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought the good fight. Hebrews 12:1. The race set before. The word race there is the word agon, conflict. So, sometimes that adventure in prayer is like you are wrestling something. You are wrestling something. You are wrestling something. I remember my father years ago. Knowing this in prayer is why I grew up not praying where people were. So that they won't be embarrassed and I won't be embarrassed too. So I used to, in Igbe Road then, I had a place, in fact, everywhere I used to live, I have a place that I will create in the bush. That I will go there. And I'll just go and pray. Because I want to express the Spirit of God. Or give expression to the Spirit of God. So one day, my dad, because I will leave home like 2 a.m., 3 a.m., and I come back in the morning. He had noticed. So one morning, I was coming back around to 6. Was it past 6? He was at the gate. As I opened, he said, where are you coming from? All my prayer power almost left me. He said, I want to pray. He said, pray. Hey! At what time? He said, I left around 2 a.m. To where? I said, the bush. He said, he's not convinced that you have joined the secret cult. That, how old are you? He said, now wait. How many sins have you committed? Because I was a teenager. How many sins have you committed? Say me your father. I can't pray 2 hours. For what? Jesus has already paid for all my sins. He said that one. He said, so what are you? I said, I know you. You don't have girlfriend. You don't watch TV. You don't drink. You don't lie. You don't steal. What then is troubling you? Tell me your father. Confide in me. What is troubling you? Say you don't have academic problem. So what is troubling you? I said, it's the work of ministry. Ministry. He said, he now called his friend. He said, look, young man, if you want to serve God, you will still serve God. All of us will serve God. No, I'm not done. He said, now, you are saying Jesus died for your sins. Where you have no sins at all, sin the sin first so he can forgive you. Say, when you see this, go out, enjoy life. Then you will not, we all return to God eventually. Then he will forgive us all our sins. Hallelujah. So I will go into the bush to pray. Because there are times, there are so many not so quiet prayers. Who knows what I'm talking about? Not quiet. It's not quiet. You are like a tussle. And you don't even know what, you are not fighting anybody, oh. It's not the kind of one you are fighting somebody in your village, oh. You're just going. And you are releasing signals of a conflict. It's an adventure. Hallelujah. We used to call it burdens in prayer. Like someone gives you something to carry. A burden. Look at it. He says he prayed more earnestly. Look at the word. More earnestly. That means he increased the tempo. More earnestly. The word more earnestly there is continuous zeal. It's from the word ectinis. That's the root of that word. It's actually the word E-K-T-E-N-E-S-T-R-O-N. E-K-T-E-N-E-S-T-R-O-N. Taken from the word ectinis in 1 Peter 4:8. Fervency. Fervency. That is practice. It's not that some people say fervent prayer is not shouting. Fervent prayer is the effectiveness of the insight of the word which you pray. You are a lazy man. Fervent prayer. We don't see fervent prayer. Tears. Shouting. The Bible says he was loud in prayer. Hallelujah. I remember years ago when I was pastoring a church in Ibadan. I was having a prayer meeting. Sister Yemi Odulaya, you remember this story? You remember this story? Where somebody was praying and she brought out a shoe. Was it a shoe? Was it a shoe? That she threw at the guy and said, "You are not praying!" Was it a shoe? It was a shoe. How can you say you're praying like this? You must pray this. So she stoned him. That's extreme zeal. I say someone like that. I mean, when that spirit of supplication came into the house and overwhelmed us, the brother was adding like, he was the one listening to prayer. I think they pour pure water. He said, "You are in the flesh. Leave." Hallelujah. No, we have changed now. You know, there's a zeal. It's an adventure. Crying tears. Was he praying for deliverance? No. Was he praying for family cause? No. No. In John chapter 11. Hallelujah. Say, "I receive adventures in prayer." There are adventures in the spirit, in the place of prayer. Hallelujah. When you lie down, you are not around here again. And you are praying. And things are happening. Hallelujah. Things are happening. Things are happening. I told you many times. I will take a man of prayer over a man of knowledge. But the truth is, a man of knowledge will be a man of prayer. A man of prayer trusts in God. He trusts in the Lord. Prayer is a proof. That's not my power. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. John 11. Sorry, John 10. At the tomb of Lazarus. Watch this. John 11, sorry, not 10. Look at verse 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, the Bible says, the Jews also weeping which came with her. He groaned in the spirit and was troubled. Look at that word. He groaned. The word groan here is from a word that means to show displeasure. Displeasure. Or to have a warning in your spirit. It's not fair. Like a displeasure in your spirit. Like you are grumbling and you are going, "Oh no, 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 no." Something like that. You go, "No." Yeah, and then you're like, "No, no, no." And then like an internal tussle. Now it's not that someone gave you a gist and say, "Ah no." No, there are some things they are not. We used to call it inward weakness. It's not inward weakness. It's because of a movie you watched, a text message you read, or an email you saw. Or a feeling of fear. That's not what I'm talking about. This one is spirit inspired. And it says he was troubled. The word troubled there is the word tarazo. You know tarazo? He was unsettled. Unsettled. No. And these are all involved in the work of the ministry. He was unsettled. We have to pray more about this matter. We have to pray more about this matter. Don't forget we started by saying devote prayer. Give prayer devoted time. Then also, in that devotion, respond to the Spirit of God. Because they are adventures. They are prayers you will pray. Just like Peter in Acts 10. And you have a trance. Many times, when I can say two-thirds of the times I've had visions and revelations. Two-thirds, I believe. Sometimes they're so spectacular. Very spectacular ones. Extremely spectacular ones. They have been in place of prayer. I'll have found myself praying for hours. Then I'll have these experiences. Remember one day, I had that prayer. 1995. And I had been fasting. Because I chose that year that I was going to fast throughout the year. I couldn't eventually. But I did over 260 days. And sometimes I'll go 80 days. And I'll just be praying. And I'll just be... What was I doing? I was birthing a ministry. I said, I'm going to go around the world. He said, what I'm preaching will go around the world. One day like that, I was walking near Ragolis. Ragolis, where they make water. And I was walking. And I said, I'm going to preach the word of God all over the world. I'm going to raise ministers for Jesus. And I didn't plan it. And I said that experiences in prayer. And I said that. And I kept praying. So this particular day, as I was praying, I was fasting. I'm praying. And I found myself in a wonderful vision. I'll give you a few of it. And the Lord said to me, in a divinely grand appearance, said, I'll make you stand. He said, nothing will make you fall. Do you know what? Today, at any time of my life, I remember that vision. And what it makes me do is pray. At any time. That is, I still remember it today. What it makes me do is not say, woo, glory! I just remember I was praying when I saw it, so I pray again. Hallelujah. I pray again. They are adventures. Adventures. Hallelujah. Adventures. In prayer. In prayer. So he groaned. So there are such impulses. Impulses. In the place of prayer. So the impulses that you have. You just feel like tears. Some of you have prayed before. You are praying for disciples or to before you go for evangelism. And you felt like a weight on your spirit. What felt that way? Like a weight. Like something. Not a Jesus. Not the one you want to say Jesus. Yeah, like say Jesus. Not that one. No. That one is a sleep problem. This one is a weight. And then you have to go to work. And you still sense that you should still keep praying. Who has sensed that before? You have said, Father, I thank you. I give you praise. The sick are healed. The deaf are hearing. But you knew you were not done. Who has had that experience? You should have it. You knew you were not done. And then you almost, it almost ruined your day. You don't let it ruin your day. All you need to do is to get back to it at night. That's all. What I found out is that some of us will ignore it. In 1995, the Lord said this to me, and I was especially I read it from Brother Hagin. He said that there are many times I've woken many people up to pray at night, and they rejected the call to the point that they will no longer respond at all. He said, I'm going to judge everyone for that. And I knew it. That you just stopped responding. Normally you'll have woken up. You'll say, oh, tomorrow. I'm busy. I have office job. I have this one. And then you let it go. The Lord was sharing his burden with you. Sharing his heart with you. So, time like that. Go to work. Read your books if you're a student. And when you come back in the evening again, continue. Some of those things can take you weeks. I remember I told some of my friends years ago, I said, the burden we have on prayer on this matter may take us years. Someone said,
I saw it too. That we have to keep praying about this man. There are things like that, it just takes you years. There are some burdens that I see pray over today that dated over 20 years. Just keep praying. And as you keep praying, the Lord will show you things. He will show you things. And you are praying. And you are praying. And you are praying. Hallelujah. So there are such experiences. Here's Jesus. He's groaning. He's complaining in the spirit. He's crying. These are the Spirit's expression. What was he praying about? John 17 tells us he was praying for us. Praying for the growth of the gospel in the world. That requires tears. That requires tears. In Matthew 26:41, he says to the disciples, "The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." In other words, it's the kind of prayer that the flesh does not like. The flesh doesn't like it. The flesh doesn't like it. Because you have other things you want to attend to. You want to sleep. You want to eat. You want to attend to other things and that. But there's a burden on your heart. Remember how we started? Create times. And I'm telling you, there are people in this auditorium who need to get back burdens that they let go. John Wesley said, "It seems like God cannot do anything in the earth except we pray." Well, that's just the truth. Everything God does in the earth, He gets men to pray. And I know we are here, we are all His servants. We are His sons who chose to serve Him. So we give ourselves to this. And some of us, we're just too busy, family, job, contracts you're chasing, the economic situation of your nation. Sometimes it's a demand of academics. Sometimes it's, you know. But I will never forget, 94, I'm right. I was in university and I was going to pray. We're going to have a prayer meeting in the campus fellowship. And we're going to pray. So I was part of the team. And we're going to pray at the place called Zion. And it began to rain. It's very rare in those days to rain in that particular part of Nigeria. It was raining. And then so we decided to leave. Because, it's raining, you know, it's raining, it's raining. We pray tomorrow. I mean, everybody just agreed in the heart. Tomorrow, look at the weather. It's raining. Yeah. And as we were leaving, a guy was wheeled on a wheelchair to the place, the same place, to pray. There's always somebody who goes beyond the obstacle you ran from. There's a pilot who is serving the Lord. There's a doctor. There's a lawyer. There's someone who lost a job, who is doing what you claim you couldn't do. There's someone who doesn't have a job. There's someone who lost a husband. There's somebody who lost a children. They're just people who will be in the same situation that you claim is the obstacle. The elderly people. I told you about a man 100 years old plus. We have some of the meetings, World Changers Conference, and we have a man in the church here in Lagos who is in his 70s, very close to 80, and he's there praying. Really? You shouldn't have a reason. And many of us have given into the flesh and pushed away these adventures. An adventure to take a hold of lives in the spirit. An adventure to pray through people's salvation. That someone goes to preach the gospel to them. An adventure that will make us pray about a nation. Reaching the nations is not just all about confessing and writing stuff and putting books out. It's a whole lot about prayer. These adventures lead to more and more and more. When Paul says, "I cease not to make mention of you." What it means is that I have a burden to pray for you. Tonight is a call to pray. to Philippians chapter 4. Sorry, Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Paul mentions a man, Epaphras, a servant of Jesus Christ. He calls him. He says, he labors fervently for you in prayers that you may be perfect and complete in all the will of God. Do you have anybody like that, that you always carry in your heart for the Lord? Do you have anybody, any people, any church that you are always praying for? See, men of prayer are men of God. They are not looking for crowd. They're not looking for people's applause. They just want to serve. And so, you must be ready for these adventures that will make you take time out, a retreat, a fast. The fast doesn't make the prayer effective, it makes you effective in the prayer. And so you are praying and you have adventures. You have things you will see. The Lord will show you things. He will say things to you. Sometimes those prayers can be like question and answer sessions. Have you ever had that? You're praying and you begin to ask the Lord, Lord, are you saying I should go this way? Lord, is that what you want? Who's had that kind of experience before? And you're just throwing out questions and you're praying. And that's the kind of adventures that we should have. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Hold someone's hand.